The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. To what is possibly one of the best known verses in the Bible, Romans chapter 6, verse 23. You learned it in Sunday school or at the holiday Bible club. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. You know it by heart probably, but you've maybe he never really thought about why Paul wrote it and how it fits in with the rest of his letter to the Romans and here in chapter 6. So let's think about that now. We're going to pick the verse apart and then we'll put it back together again and we put it in its context and see what we find. Sin, of course, is breaking the rules, God's rules. It's anything that falls short of God's standard, God's perfect standard. Sin says, do it your way, don't worry about God's way. Sin says, and this is just an example, sin says, come on, follow this career and you'll be rich and people will respect you and your family will be happy. Or go after this relationship and you'll be happy. Do whatever it takes. Now, you maybe have to neglect a few responsibilities, or you might have to cut a few corners. You might have to sacrifice some of your standards to get there, but it's going to be good. You might have to even turn your back on God, but it'll make you happy. That's what sin says. Do this, and it'll make you happy. And you go for it. Investing your life in the hope of getting those wages that sin offers, happiness. But does it make you happy and respected? Is your family happy with you? Is your conscience okay with it? Well, maybe it does for a while. Maybe it makes you happy for a while, but not for long. You put in all of that effort, all of that work, and where are your wages? Sin is a deceiver. It's a cruel master. Because you do your bit, but the wages you get at the end aren't what it promised. Sin can't give what it offers. Sin can't give you anything. You don't get life. You don't get happiness. You don't get anything good if you do what sin demands. Not really, not in the long term. The only wage that's paid by sin is death, eternal death, cut off from God, death, misery, and hell. But I know you're thinking, I know some sinners and they're happy. Well, so do I. But are they satisfied? Are they content? Are they happy enough? Do they have the happiness that they wanted and expected? Have they ever got what they thought sin was promising them, or are they still living in the hope that maybe one day I'll be happy? The wages of sin is death. Take note of that if you're going your own way and not obeying God. But on the other hand, God doesn't pay wages. God doesn't even offer wages. Instead, God gives gifts. With God, everything is a gift. You should know that. We've said it often enough. Everything is grace. Undeserved blessings. That's what grace is. There's no such thing as deserving with God. There's no such thing as wages. And that's the heart of the gospel, really. Everything is by grace. And yet we don't really get it, do we? We still think that in terms of deserving and I'm not good enough and I'm not up to the standard. But remember, God doesn't do wages. God never gives wages. He never pays what we have earned because we haven't earned anything. God only gives free gifts. In fact, God only gives one gift. I'll explain what I mean by that. Everything else is part of the one gift. It says the gift of God is eternal life. And what a gift that is, eternal life. Now, eternal life isn't just life that goes on forever. Eternal life is life in the presence of God, enjoying Him and enjoying His goodness and love forever. It says in Ephesians 2 that He has made us alive, Ephesians 2 verse 7, He has made us alive, given us eternal life, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Now pick that apart and think about it. That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. God, through all the ages to come, forever and ever and ever and ever, no end, in all the ages to come, He's going to show us the exceeding riches, the unbelievable, infinite, endless riches of His grace. How is God going to show us the endless riches of His grace forever? Through acts of kindness. You know, it's going to take a whole eternity for the grace of God to be lavished upon you. Grace, remember, undeserved good things, that's what grace is. And grace never runs out. God's grace never runs out because it's infinite. You can take away as much of it as you like and there's still that much left. That's what it is with anything that's infinite. And because God's grace will never run out, then those acts of kindness will never stop coming. They'll never come to an end. Every day for eternity, there will be new acts of kindness coming to us from God. Isn't that amazing? That's what eternal life is. What a gift. Do you see what I mean when I say then that God just gives one gift and everything else is part of it? He gives us eternal life and He just keeps on pouring out those acts of kindness day after day after day after day. And among those acts of kindness is our salvation and all of the other things that He has blessed us and is blessing us with. Eternal life is living in His presence, beholding His grace, experiencing the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us. And it started already, Christian. He's already pouring out those blessings every single day. Now, back to our verse so we don't get lost. How are we doing? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Who's this amazing gift for? And where is it to be found? Where do you go looking for it? Well, the answer here, in Christ Jesus. Jesus paid for this gift. We know that. He made it possible. Paul keeps reminding us of that in this letter. It's all through Jesus. It all goes back to Jesus and the price He paid on the cross. But look, in this verse, it doesn't say through Jesus. It says in Christ Jesus. This gift, eternal life, is for everyone who is in Christ. Not in Adam, but in Christ. And you know now what that means. Who is in Christ? It's those who take Him at His word, those who have faith, those who believe, those who take Him at His word and live like they do. Isn't that what we have been learning? All who trust in Him are in Christ. So you get this gift, eternal life, if you're in Christ, if you're saved, and you get there by having faith, not by work. You take Jesus at His word, and there's nothing to be paid. So we've taken the verse apart. I think we've explained all the phrases in it. Let's put it back together again. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Using the language that Paul's been using earlier in the chapter, there are two masters. He's been talking about that in the verses before this one. Two masters you can follow. You've got a choice. Two ways you can go in this life. You can either be a slave to sin or you can be a slave to God. And there is no other way. If you're not obeying God, you're a slave to sin, whether you know it or not. And if you're a slave to sin, if sin is your master, the only wages you can expect is death. Whatever else sin might promise you, that's all there is coming to you. Death, eternal death, punishment, hell. If you're a slave to God, you don't get any wages at all, because God doesn't do wages. Instead, you get a gift. That gift has been paid for by Jesus, and it's the most amazing gift imaginable. You get eternal life. And if you're not saved, if you're not a Christian, if you're not following Jesus, if you're not in Christ, it all amounts to the same thing. You are a slave to sin. Sin has got you in its grip and you can't break free from it. You might not think that, but that's what the Bible says, and that's the reality. You're a slave to sin. You were born a slave to sin. We've talked about it already. And if you stay the way you were born, if you remain a slave to sin, you don't have to do anything. If you just do nothing about it, you'll remain a slave to sin. If you remain a slave to sin, well, sin pays wages, but don't be deceived. The wage that sin pays is death, eternally cut off from God, misery, hell. But if you voluntarily become a slave to God, if you come to him in faith, if you take him at his word and obey him, believe what he says, and leave sin behind, then God gives eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's yours for the taking. Just trust him. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, we're not quite done with this verse yet, because we mustn't forget that Paul wrote this verse for Christians, not for unsaved people. So if you're not a Christian, that last little bit was for you, and you think about what you've just heard for a while, because I'm going to talk to the Christians now. There's a word in the verse that we haven't thought about yet, and I bet you missed it. It's the very first word, for. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we've got to ask ourselves, what is the for? Well, what it does is it links this verse with what Paul has been writing about in the verses before it. And let me give you a quick summary of what he's just been writing about. He says, you have been set free from sin. You don't have to do it anymore. Now you have become a slave to God, a voluntary slave to God, and you're changing. You're being made holy. You're becoming more like Jesus all the time. You're becoming less sinful and you're becoming more pure every day. And the end of that, he says, will be eternal life. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Because the gift of God is eternal life, Christian, you are being made more and more like Jesus every day. Now, do you see what Paul is saying here? Changing, being made holy, being made more like Jesus is part of the gift. It's part of the package. It goes along with being given eternal life. It's part of eternal life. It's part of God showing the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness toward us, this change that is happening to you. It's all bound up together. Becoming more holy, being sanctified, if you want the big word for it. Becoming more holy and eternal life, you can't have one without the other. So go on sinning. Don't be daft. It's not possible. If you have the gift of eternal life, you won't go on sinning. I'm not saying you won't ever sin again. What I am saying is you won't keep on sinning. You won't keep going your own way. You won't keep repeating all the same old sins again and again. And you won't keep stubbornly holding on to some sin or other. And you will not continue the way you are and not growing more to be like Jesus and not progressing. If you have eternal life, if you're saved, you just won't do that because it's part of the gift. So if you're not progressing then, you've got to wonder if you've got the gift. You've got to wonder if you are in Christ Jesus or not. You can't be sure. Well, what are you to do then? If you're looking at your life and you're thinking, I'm not growing more like Jesus every day. I'm no more like him now than I was this time last year or this time 5 years ago or 10 years ago. If you're looking at your life and you're thinking that, then you can't really be sure you're saved, because if you are saved, it's part of the package. You will be changing. So what are you to do? And Paul's already told you what to do. Stop it. Stop sinning. Turn your back on it and live like you're a slave to righteousness. Verses 11 to 13. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you may obey its lusts, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being made alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. If you're not making progress, what should you do? Reckon that you're dead to sin. Stop sinning and start living right. And then verse 19, just as you used to present your members as slaves to uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, now present your members as slaves of righteousness. So, if you're not making progress, growing more like Jesus, can't be sure you're saved, what are you to do? Get to work. Stop sinning and start living right. That's what you should do. Now, if you're tracking with me and you're on the ball, maybe you're getting a wee bit confused here, because people do. Can be a bit confusing. If you're growing more like Jesus every day as part of the gift, and remember, we've emphasized that all of God's gifts are free and undeserved and unearned, and all down to God's grace, and we contribute nothing. Well, if that's the case, then how come I have to put in so much effort to stop sinning and to be good? It seems to me that I have to do a lot of work. So that leaves me thinking, well then, is there some kind of experience that I should be looking for that will make me especially holy or sinless even? Should I just pray for it and wait for this change to happen? People ask that question, and some people will tell you that that's exactly what you should do. But it's not what Paul says here. What's the whole thing Paul has been emphasizing in chapter 6? Stop sinning. Have nothing to do with it. Live like you're a slave to righteousness and to God. Make an effort. Resist and fight sin with all your might. That's what he's been saying. And the confusion is, well, then how can it be both? How can it be that giving up sin and growing to be more like Jesus is a free gift, but you've got to make all this effort? How can it be both? Well, the best answer I can give you to that comes from Philippians chapter 2. It says that as you work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, as you put in the effort, it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. You putting in the effort, but God is at work in you, making you want to put in that effort. If it wasn't for God doing that, if it wasn't for the free gift of that, you'd have no desire to give and put in that effort at all. Let me help you maybe with an illustration. This is a daft one, but maybe it'll work. Maybe it'll bring the light on for some of you if you're struggling with this. You're walking past a baker's shop, and you see a great big cream bun in the window. And the devil whispers in your ear, go on, you know you want to. And you fight it with all your might. You tell yourself, no, I died to big cream buns. The bun has no power over me. I want nothing to do with it. I'm not a slave to cream buns anymore. So you drag yourself away from the very sight of it and you distract yourself with some other thought. And as you leave it alone, you give thanks to God. And you pray, Lord, I deserve to be left to my own desires to eat that bun and get fat and die young. But Lord, you changed my heart. You set me free. You have made me love you more even than cream buns. You made me want to walk on by the baker's shop. You gave me victory over the bun, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that gift. Thank you for the gift of eternal life. Oh, all right, I know it's a silly illustration. Anyway, big cream buns aren't necessarily sinful. Thank God big cream buns aren't always sinful. Don't push the illustration too far. But it is how it works. Whatever the sin is, whatever the temptation you're struggling with, whatever sin it is that you're struggling to leave behind, you substitute that for the big bun and you'll see how it works. You'll see how to deal with those sins that you still do. You don't have to do it. It'll bring you nothing but shame and regret and death. And thank God you don't have to do it, because he has changed you and he's changing you. And he has given you eternal life, and unimaginable blessings will flow for all eternity, new every morning. And with a heart full of joy, you'll walk on by past that big cream bun. And who wants a bun anyway? So don't make it complicated. Don't make it confusing. Just stop sinning. Put all your effort into it and be thankful to God for giving you the desire to do that. And remember again, I want to mention it again, God doesn't do wages, he only does gifts. You weren't made to work for your blessings, you were just meant to enjoy them and receive them freely and joyfully. And that includes the gift of being able to leave your old sinful ways behind. You see, there are Christians and living up to God's standard seems like a burden to them. I've got to give up this, I've got to give up that. Oh, life is miserable because I can't have the things I want. And it's so hard and it takes so much effort. It's just a burden to them all the time. And at the back of their minds, as they're putting in all of that effort, they're thinking that if they don't do it, God won't be pleased with them and the blessings won't come. Do you see how ridiculous that is? God's gifts are free. So reckon yourself to be dead to sin. Live like you're a slave to God and to righteousness. Yes, it takes effort. Sometimes it takes a lot of effort. But it's not work for wages. And it's not a burden. It's a joyful thing. It's the joyful response of a heart that has been blessed and will be blessed for all eternity by God himself. Do you see that? So Christian, be thankful. Be thankful that God has changed you. Be thankful that he is changing you. Be thankful that he'll change you more. Be thankful that one day the change will be complete, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Be thankful for that. Be glad. Rejoice in it. Rejoice. And then, driven by a heart that's bursting with thankfulness and joy, reckon yourself to be dead to sin and give up those old sins that are destroying you. Live like you're a slave to righteousness. And if you're not a Christian yet, well, wake up again. I'm not finished with you quite yet. Just remember, take this away with you. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a free gift. Come to Jesus and take it. You've just got to trust him. Take him at his word. Live like you do. Believe what he says. Obey him, because he is God. And he will bless you with joy that lasts forever, with joy that goes on giving and giving and giving for all eternity. And he will enable you to overcome those sins that you're a slave to. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. It's a verse that we have heard so often before, and we know it so well, but help us just to think afresh about what it means. And we pray that we would go from here this morning rejoicing in the grace of our God and the fact that we have been set free from slavery, and we have no fear of death because we have received from you as a free gift eternal life. And with joyful, thankful hearts, let us live in obedience to you, in Jesus' name.